Welcome to Sales Players, the number one podcast for top players in B2B sales.
Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out in the world of sales, this is the show for you.
We're all about bringing you fresh, actionable ideas to supercharge your rev gen game.
We dive deep into the mindset, habits, and tools used by top performers in the industry, generate more leads, close more deals, and build wealth and financial security in B2B sales.
So if you're ready to level up, you've come to the right place. Join the conversation with other like-minded sales players and continue the discussion beyond the show.
Hit the subscribe button, tune into the Sales Players, and let's start winning together.
This episode is sponsored by Accord. Accord helps revenue teams drive execution excellence by enforcing their standards for how they sell, onboard, and expand with prospects and customers. Revenue teams can ensure flawless execution of value selling, med pick, account planning, business cases, mutual action plans, and more with Accord's deal execution platform. If you've been a longtime listener of the show, you've probably already heard me talk about how I use mutual action plans, account plans, and business cases to manage and close my enterprise deals. Well, Accord has created a better way to manage the process. They're your solution for deal execution. Your buyers are going to love it because it makes their evaluation process so much easier by helping them seamlessly validate and onboard new and existing vendor partners. I've been super excited to be using Accord to manage my six and seven figure enterprise deals. So for sales players looking to get started with Accord for free, use the link in the show notes to sign up today.
Hey, sales players, before we dive back into the conversation, I wanted to introduce you to a game changer in the lead generation tool arena, and it's called LeadFeeder. Imagine having the power to identify companies visiting your website, tracking their behavior in real time, seamlessly integrating this data in your CRM. LeadFeeder is not just a tool, it's your secret weapon for efficient and targeted lead engagement. What sets LeadFeeder apart is its ability to provide detailed insights into visitor behavior, helping your sales team to prioritize efforts and close deals faster. Ready to revolutionize your approach to leads and deals? Head over to leadfeeder.com for your free demo today. That's LeadFeeder.com. Don't miss out on the future of successful lead generation with LeadFeeder. Plus, if you go to the show notes, we actually have a special link that will give you a 21-day free trial instead of the normal 14-day free trial. Go over today and sign up.
All right, we've got a really great guest lined up for today's episode. We'll be speaking with Tom Slocum. Tom is the founder and CEO of the SD Lab. He's an expert on pipeline generation, standing out with your prospecting, and of course, using LinkedIn to generate pipeline. We had a really great conversation. I look at it as Tom is on the cutting edge of all things pipeline generation and sales, and he shared a lot of really interesting stuff with us, some things that I had never heard about before, like these cold call simulators, and I'll let Tom explain it in the episode, so keep listening. And just shared, really kind of wowed us with some of his ideas and some of the ways that he helps his clients generate pipeline. We talk a lot about his... All right, we've got Tom Slocum. Is that how it's pronounced, Slocum?
Yes, sir.
Awesome, I got it right. So Tom, I actually want to start off by saying how... You've been on my radar for a long time. I've followed you for a while on LinkedIn. But where your name came up recently was we had David, the founder of Surf.
Yeah.
Surf is a partner to the pod, and we had David on the show. And then after we stopped recording, David asked me, do you know where Queen Creek, Arizona is? And I was like, that's where I live. Like, someone in Paris should not know Queen Creek even exists. And I was like, why are you asking me that? And he was like, well, that's where Tom lives. And I was like, Tom who? Tom Slocum. And then I looked you up and I was like, no way, we're in the same city.
Yeah.
And now all the listeners know exactly where I live.
Yes.
But it's a small town too, so they might find me.
They might find us.
So that's how I was like, oh, we got to have Tom on the show after I started following. And, you know, I went to your profile and then as it goes, your content started popping up further on my timeline. And so here we are. So maybe start off by telling us a little bit about your background in sales and how you got to the position you're in today.
Yeah, yeah. First off, David's great. Shout out to my boy, David. Surf is a very cool tool. I use it. I live by it. Integrates your CRM right on LinkedIn, which is just a game changer for people in the trenches to just move a lot faster, right? But for me, I am a 16-year sales vet, about 17 years now. So I started in 2007. First entering into Discover Card Financial Services, and then was a car sales rep, bounced around a little bit, moved to Cali, came back, and then I found myself into education. So I was an admissions counselor and a finance counselor for an org. Suffered my first three layoffs, which was fun. Hey, one group goes to room A, one group goes to room B, and you find out. And it was rough. Then moved into GoDaddy, Yelp. I kind of feel like I have two decades that I can retire my jersey.
So Tom, tell us, how long had you thought about starting your own thing before you actually took the plunge? It sounds like, you know, there was a compelling event to do that, but had you been considering doing that for a while before you got to that point, or was it sort of an on the fly, like, I better just do this, I'm never going to get a chance again?
So interesting enough, I grew up being that kid where watching shows, I grew up with my grandparents and, you know, seeing the business suit guy and the family with the white picket fence and the dude going on trips with his briefcase, that always excited me. And I just thought that was like the tier of success and like being in that side of the house. And so all my career choices led to or were going down the path of one day owning my own company. I did admissions and the education stuff to learn about going to school, getting my education, financial services and car selling. I learned the selling techniques. When I went to GoDaddy and Yelp, I learned about, you know, advertising and domains and, you know, building a website, how to do advertising and what that all meant, reputation management services, SEO, everything kind of put myself in that position to become as prepared as possible for what it was to run a business. Just understanding it, interacting with entrepreneurs, SMB companies, people out there doing it. And so in 2019, when I was at my last company to do a run of 0 to 7 reps, I started thinking about it and I was like, what would it be that I would go into? And I realized that I just had a lot of knowledge about scaling teams and building them out. And I would love to be paid to do that. Come in, help the learning curve, you know, don't take 12 months to do it. I've done it now 2-3 times. I clearly have a playbook for it. I can help folks build this out. So in 2019, when I landed that job, I started putting pieces together and building out what the SD lab would look like, which is the sales development lab, by the way. A lot of people can put it together. Not many miss it, but that's what it is. It's a sales development lab. And then when that VP of sales kind of came to an end, I had stuff in my Google Drive already, like little pieces of everything of kind of molding where it would go. I had a slide deck presentation of kind of what was going on. And when I was in community, doing the community stuff with AEs and SDRs, a lot of people were coming to me for support because I was actually really good at rallying troops, letting people put points on the board. You know, we had gamification. I was showing up every day for this community and people would start coming to me for work. So when the VP of sales thing happened and my mentors and friends were like, dude, just launch, go. Like, don't go back to corporate world. And I was like, cool. So then that's when, you know, I was able to put together a website in 4 hours, kind of get the pieces going and figure out, okay, what am I going to offer and what am I going to do? It wasn't exactly the same as what I had in my Google Drive and was building prior because I've grown since then and I had learned things. But it was kind of already in the back of my mind. So it was very fortunate that I didn't have to start from nothing, but I started from nothing, right? And kind of transpired this idea. And I posted the next day after saying I was looking to work of like, I'm not going all in, wish me luck. And then next thing you know, I'm here 18 months later and we're doing all right.
All right. How did you get your first customer?
Oh, that was fun. First 90 days was insane. A lot of building, a lot of kind of understanding. You know, I started throwing out the kitchen sink, which is a big problem. Don't do that, right? Don't go and sell to whatever. You really, every time I was on a call and a demo, they were like, okay, but what am I getting? What are we doing? Like, what is entailed here? And I was like, I don't know. I could just help you. What do you need? Like, talk to me about the problem. And they're like, okay, but like, what do we do? And so I had to go through that. And my first customer actually came from a referral. A good friend of mine knew that I was out there vetting and doing what I was doing. It was like, hey, I have this company that I'm partnered with and doing some stuff with. Their outbound motion is just not great. Like, they need help. They're outdated. They're a normal team, kind of not on LinkedIn, don't really know what's going on, and they could use the help. So I met with the sales development manager, the CMO, and the COO, and all on a call, took 3 calls, walked them through everything, kind of figured out and kind of created my plan and my offer during all of that. And then we went through. So they were my first customer. So it took about 90 days to get that first one in. Had a lot of calls, yeah. had a lot of conversation, but I was just sure. missing the mark because I didn't have a formal offer as to like, what am I doing? It's like, I'm just a consultant.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, that's great. Like, but what is it that you're doing? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you need help with? I can do a lot. Once I was able to get this client and actually create like, all right, here's what this is going to look like for the next 3 months. Here's how I'm going to take you from here to here. This is what we need to do to make that happen. That's when I closed my first customer. And they were like, okay, I can pay for that. I have a clear plan. I know milestones along the way, where we should be at and what the outcome is going to look like. We're in. And so I closed the first one then.
Well, Tom, I, you know, something that I really noticed about you, and I think that you're, I want to highlight is you've utilized LinkedIn to help create your sales career and then launch this business. So I would love to go into your content strategy and your strategy on how you've utilized LinkedIn to connect, make connections, and then maybe IRL connections as well.
Yeah, LinkedIn, I have to say, changed the trajectory of my life, my career, my growth. I mean, I owe it everything. You know, I, for 13 years, I had to do business the hard way. I didn't, you know, I used LinkedIn just like anybody else. You know, it was just kind of a job place, you know, and I was out there and I was just cold prospecting, prospects only. I didn't know you could post on there, right? I didn't know that you could actually post beyond a job post or something and just a free thought. And so I had like 2,000 followers. And even at one of my jobs, I'd go into my team meetings acting like I was hot shit because I had 2,000 followers. And I was like, why are you not on LinkedIn following this advice from people? And everybody's like, dude, calm down. Like, what? I'm like, nah, I'm the shit with 2,000 people, right? And so in September of 2020, when I dove into Rev Genius, that sales community during kind of the whole pandemic side of the house, I had a remote team. I had 7 of them. We were building out this operation and I found Rev Genius. And within like 2 months, I started building a micro community, Rev League, in there. And one of the sessions that they would host on a week was branding, personal branding and using LinkedIn. And it was Hannah, I can't ever say her name right, and Angela. I forget. She's over in the UK. She's going to be mad at me if she hears this. Sorry, Hannah. I love you. And then Nick Capozzi. And they talked about branding. And from that moment, I started posting. And it started with just using Rev Genius's content of sharing what events were coming up, like being a promoter for them, jumping on that bandwagon with some of the other ambassadors. And within a few short months, like 2 or 3, I started realizing I could post myself, like my own thoughts. And I had a voice because my follower count started to really climb and people were enjoying what I was putting out. So then I switched it and I said, well, I'm just going to start talking about cold calling because the one thing I can talk about, like the back of my hand, is cold calling. I have the credentials for it. I've done the work for it. And I'm from 2007 days till now. Like I have a lot for these up and comers to share. So I started posting. Yeah. And now 3 years later, right, I'm at almost 4 years later, I'm at 25,000. I've got the blue badge on LinkedIn. I've been recognized. I'm very well respected and credible in the space. And it's all because all I ever wanted to do was give and give some more. Yeah. I never looked at LinkedIn for me. I never still to this day, I don't look at LinkedIn for me. I look at it for what I can do to the market and the people in my space that are either behind me or next to me. And how can I share what I'm going through, what I'm reading, what I'm doing, what tools that I'm looking at, you know, what, you know, education I can give them. And then from there, I just earned a lot of trust and credibility of like, dude, you're a practitioner. You're actually doing this stuff every day. Like you're in it. You know what you're talking about. My Google Drive has more information on it than I could ever like run out of, right? Because of all the jobs and the methodologies and the documents I've made for my teams, all this stuff. And so, yeah, once I got into LinkedIn, I started getting job offers. I started getting work because people would go there, see who I was. My cold calls, even at my company, when I was still kind of doing the community and my director role, started changing. I'd cold call people and I didn't have to spend 5 minutes explaining who I was or what I was calling for. They'd be like, oh, hey, Tom. Yeah, I've seen your content. I've seen you in my DMs and stuff. What's up? What's going on? And I was like, nice. This is crazy. Because I went through a whole career where like nobody knew who the hell I was. They just knew Tom.
Right.
That could be anybody. Now I'm like out there and they could go research me and like be like, dude, I've seen you in my feed. I'm well aware of who you are. Like, what? Like, yeah, give me the spiel. And I was like, this is crazy. And so it just kind of really started happening. And then when I was able to jump into a business, it was easy. You know, I always tell people I was very fortunate to get into the content game and create a brand when I didn't need anything out of it. I was just creating to create, because I've watched the reverse where somebody has no presence, they open a business and then they come to LinkedIn and now it's just selly, promotey. It's just them pushing their leads and their volume and they have no brand yet. They weren't able to get that because they're just going right into it. Where I had two, 3 years where I just built for the community for fun. Yeah, my job I had, I was trying to do leads and stuff, but I really was just writing content just to write content. There was no call to action. There wasn't like, DM me for this. Hey, I got a course for you. Yeah. I got a product for you. It was just tips and insights every day, 5 days a week, just me pushing free advice. And then when I got into my business, it was a little rocky. It's still rocky for me. I am not a great promoter. It bugs me. It gets in my skin. Like I'm not, I can lift everybody else up, but I can't lift myself up because it's just weird. And I've always believed, especially coming from a review industry for so long, Yelp and rep and stuff, like the best way to get your business in the forefront is have other people talk about it. Nobody wants to hear from you. Nobody cares. Anything you do is going to be great. Am I going to talk about the SD Lab the best way possible? Absolutely.
Of course.
Of course. But when you have 5, 6 other people coming up in the news feed or writing testimonials or saying, yo, you should go talk to Tom. This stuff is great. That has like 10x the weight than me lifting myself up, right? And being like, yo, come out, check out my newsletter. It's the best newsletter on the market. That's like, all right, cool, dude. Like, it's like how everybody puts on their website that they're number one something. And I'm like, how is this possible? How is everybody the number one?
The number one.
Like, you watch TV and every comedy is the number one comedy on TV right now. And I'm like, okay, who is it then? Because this one over here on NBC says they're number one. This one over here says they're number one, right? But when you talk to your friends, they're like, nah, number one is this one. This is who I'm tuning into. You're like, okay, cool. So I look for that validation to come from other people talking on my behalf. I just make my moves. I just sit quietly and let it kind of the work speak for itself kind of approach, right?
Yeah. Well, Tom, let's take a little bit of a right-hand turn and get into some tactics, because I think some of our listeners come from the SDR and AE, and some are VP of sales, but really want to get into some tactics of how do you make a great cold call in 2024 these days? Like, what are some of those tips? And would love to learn more about that.
Yeah. So cold calling for me and what I try to teach is, how do you be the Alfred to their Batman, right? Alfred was always actually the one that helped Batman. Batman would go conquer the dragons, but the reality was Alfred brought the tools, the tech, put the whole thing in play. Batman just executed. So when you're cold calling, how do you help? How do you show this person your expertise and credibility in their space and say, hey, Jesse, you know, I'm calling you. The reason for my call is whatever that trigger or signal was to say, hey, I actually needed to call you with purpose, and then show them how you can empower them and help them. You know, I've seen your post on XYZ, reaching out because what we're doing is this. Is this something you've thought about or done up until this point? Let me empower you to accomplish this goal, right? And here's how we're going to do it. And it's just about being human. Too many times you get lost in the script. People are trying to do this song and dance that really is unnecessary and it causes a lot of friction in the cold call. Just be you, be real, be super upfront. And the best thing you can do is address the 3 questions, which is who are you, where are you from, and why are you calling? My best opener is, hey, Jesse, it's Tom over at the SD Lab. How have you been? Not how are you, none of that. How have you been? Because it's like a friend, like, hey, how have you been? I'm doing really well, Tom, what's up with you? Hey, I'm doing great. The reason for my call, Jesse, is I seen this trigger that you guys are going through growth. You just raised your Series A funding. Typically, when that happens, there's a lot of growing pains that come and trying to figure out where to put that money in the best places. What are some priorities you're tackling right now on where that money is going to go? Oh, Tom, we're looking at XYZ. Okay, why is that? Oh, we're going to go this direction. Okay. And up until this point, what are you doing to accommodate that? Kind of figuring out, you know, seek to understand and then be understood, right?
Sure.
Go in, ask questions. It's like a consultative sale, right? Like, I am coming to help you, but first I need to know where you are and what's going on before I word vomit on you and just like load up out of nowhere. Hey, I'm calling with this great tool. Like, we're doing this, and you drop this value prop that makes no sense. But
yeah.
First, I come in and I'm like, hey, with an unsure tone of like, hey, you know, Chase, I saw this. Is this what you guys are doing right now? Like, am I right there? Yeah, you are. Okay. What are you doing up until this point to take care of that? That's how you find competitors. That's how you get them in the mindset of where they are. Are they even looking at this? Is it a budget thing? Then as you're going through that, you find that moment where you can pivot and be like, that's what I thought. That's why I was calling Jeff. That's what we do here at the SD Lab. Then you customize that value prop to that conversation. Then you go in for your ask. And yeah. So that's where I kind of take that and would give as advice to anybody jumping on the phones in 2024.
When you're coaching for cold calling, what tools in, you know, you can call out specific tools if you'd like, or just overview of like, what does the stack look like for a cold caller in 2024 to get the most at-bats possible? And I guess, you know, what I'm thinking about, like, how do you make sure you have the right data, the right phone number, you're reaching the right person? Because one of the things that I've struggled with over the last, I don't know, 18 months is you can call and call and call and you're just getting voicemails. I still try to leave a voicemail as much as I can, but it's frustrating when it takes, I don't know, 150, 200 calls to finally reach another person and get a live conversation. What kind of things do you coach your clients to implement to help improve those odds, or, you know, at least manage the process in a more streamlined way?
Yeah. First and foremost is your data. You've got to have it unlocked. Yeah. I can't give an actual like number one option because they're all kind of in their own way, have their issues. You've got Zoom Info, you've got Apollo, you've got Lucia, you've got, you know, Seamless. There's a lot. I highly recommend, you know, picking one that has the closest accuracy as possible and then rocking free trials on the others to fill in any gaps. I've got like seven data tools, right? One I actually pay for, and then others where I just fill in gaps. Yeah. Like Lucia is incredible. If you get a mobile number, it's 99% of the time accurate. The problem is it doesn't have every mobile number. It's very low. Mm-hmm. But if it has it, it's accurate. So it's cool. Zoom Info, been my true star for 15 years of my career. Like, they're the behemoth. Right. They've got a good run at it. But data is going to be key. So finding data, maybe pull a couple different tools to, you know, fill gaps. A dialer. The number one thing that's slowing most teams down right now is they're all manually dialing. They're using like a sequence, like Outreach or SalesLoft, that does one dial at a time. They're dialing at a HubSpot, you know, a click to dial. And unfortunately, with the way COVID really shook up the space and people not being in office and things like that, you've got to up the volume a little bit and get out there to where you're kind of putting in more dials than you are. So an auto dialer. Phone burner is probably the cleanest one because they're doing it the right way. You're not parallel dialing, you know, where you're loading like five at a time, but you are able to go faster and it'll load the list and you could just click and go through. So phone burner, Connect and Sell, you know, Salesfinity, Nooks, they're now becoming affordable for a smaller team. So, you know, Connect and Sell, not great for an SMB team. It's like 300 grand. You're like, what the hell? But you could go like Nooks or Salesfinity, which is a little bit more possible. So get a dialer that can up your volume to about 3 to 5 dials a time. Mm-hmm. Start posting content where your ICP lives. That doesn't have to be LinkedIn. Go build a Twitter. Go build an Instagram. Go build a LinkedIn. Go be in communities where your people are so that they can be familiar with you before you pick up and cold call them, because it will change things, right? Let them know you're in their circle and you're credible versus calling out of left field in the blue. Another thing is getting into this new AI stuff. Get an AI simulator. There's some really cool simulators that I wish I had back in the day when I started cold calling, to where now I can go into a simulator and run through that scenario and get the practice, get the at-bats. Especially if I'm a newbie, like you just said, it's going to take time to get those at-bats. It could take a lot of time to get enough to get you to excel in the role, where in a simulator, you can go through it 10 times a day, 15 times a day. Start playing on the calls, objection handling, you know, getting your tone down, getting your opener down. So that way, when you do get the at-bats, even if they're small and in between, you're not losing them. You're not risking them because you fumble on the call. So I'm really into these cold call simulators of getting in some practice, and they're very
cheap. Yeah. What's an example? I'm embarrassed to admit this here on the air. I don't know that I'm familiar with cold call simulators. So, maybe I'm behind the times here, but hey, this is interesting.
So it's just like with a pilot, right? Or, you know, an army, like they've got to go through the simulator, right? A pilot will be in a fake air simulator for hours before they can even get behind the wheel of an actual plane, right? Why is that okay? Yeah. But we can't do that with cold callers, right? Like, you don't want to burn your TAM. You don't want to have your reps out there just burning through it and making mistakes. So you've got Get Replicate AI, Olive.ai, Hyperbound, others. But now what you can do is you can get into these simulators. If you go to getreplicate.ai, you can do it for free. It's just at the bottom of the homepage. You can take on their simulator that's called CAT. Or their newest feature, and I posted about this, you could take somebody's LinkedIn profile, put it on the simulator, and it will create a simulation based off that person's profile. It is crazy. No way. Yeah, I posted about it like a week ago. You'll see it in my most recents. I took on Bethany from SenseSpark, and I put her profile in the simulator. It created an AI version of Bethany, and I got a meeting with her, and then I posted about it. Yeah, it was wicked. She thought it was the craziest thing. I called her out in it, and she's like, Tom, that is the craziest shit I've ever seen. And I was like, it's amazing. She can test pilot, you know, but they're cool. You can load in your own data. So if you already have customers and client calls and objections and competitor calls, you can feed them in there. So it'll kind of get your customer base. But if you're onboarding, you're ramping up, a lot of my teams, right? I'm getting new people in there. I'm building out operations from the ground up. I tell them to look into this AI stuff and help them build these out, because then their reps can get at bats and be in the safe environment making mistakes before they go rip live with your TAM and miss out on opportunities.
It's so wild to me as someone who started cold calling, you know, about 12 years ago. And just, the only way to learn is you got to go and there's the list and you start dialing for dollars, right? And
that's
the only way you're going to learn is you're going to actually fuck up on a live call with a real person who's going to call you out. And I started my career selling to lawyers, which is not, you know, the easiest audience to learn how to cold call to. But I'm excited for the next generation of sellers that they can use AI to just get really good. And then when they are in a live situation, they don't have to, you know, suffer the just terrible loss of like having a lawyer on the phone totally rip you apart as a newbie. So that's really cool. I had not heard about these, and now I'm definitely gonna go check these out.
They're very cool, man. They're different. And like I said, it just gives you those reps, especially if you're an org that's not getting a lot of at-bats. It could take time to warm up a rep, right? Because they're not really getting out there and not getting to take the at-bats. That the faster they can start doing that, the better they will get on the phone and their opener will be crisp. Even if you're giving them a script, they can run through it to get crisp and clean and make it their own so they feel much more comfortable. So yeah, dialer, data, AI simulators, and then, you know, branding, right? Get some content out there, start creating. Doesn't have to be crazy, but just enough to where you're circulating in the circles of your ICP. So they're familiar with you. And then, you know, it's just kind of, just ripping it through. There isn't an answer there.
I want to dig into that because I'm really curious from your standpoint. You know, you talked a lot about how you started posting on LinkedIn and building your brand on LinkedIn. And again, you said any platform, a lot of times your buyer might be on Twitter or Instagram or somewhere else altogether. How helpful do you really feel like there's, and do you have any data, I guess, to show around folks who post on LinkedIn and then go and make cold calls into their ICP tend to get higher booking conversions or things like that? Maybe you don't have the data, but any anecdotes would also be cool to hear too.
I don't, but I think that would be a really cool competition, is putting like 8 cold callers together that do have reputable LinkedIn brands, and then 8 that are kind of out in the, you know, teams that aren't on LinkedIn, right? Finding them and saying, hey, we'd love to bring you on and see what your rates look like. From what I know, though, and just proximity of people and the brands and the friends that I work with, it's a game changer. My buddy Hamish, my buddy Elliot, myself, Amelia, Taylor, like a lot of us, when we started posting, our sales cycle got less friction, way easier. Yeah. You know, we're known. We can use that content also in our outreach, which is even more of a game changer, right? You build credibility and like can give gives. Hey, Jesse, I made this post last week on a couple tips on how to improve your SDR AE relationships. Would love for you to check it out and get your thoughts, or get you to drop a comment on what you think. That's a good outreach versus just the checking in, the thought bump, you know, like you can give value. But yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it change the game with those that do have a brand, that are in the right circles. If you're on Twitter for engineers, it's like the best way to get them on the phone. Engineers don't answer the phone. They're not really, you know, cybersecurity, they have a hard time. But if you're on Twitter, you'll get into DMs with them. And then when you cold call them, they're ready to pick up. They're like, oh, hey, yeah, what's up, Tom? You know, and they're okay with that because they're familiar with you, and it's not scary for them to pick up the phone to a random number, right? A lot of people get terrified of that stuff, like opening the wrong email or getting that unknown number. They're so in their own head and trained to be very wary of just clicking open links and answering unknown calls just to say hello because they'll capture your voice and then run with it, right? Like, you got to be careful. But I have seen, just from proximity and just in discussion, branding helps your sales cycle big time.
One of the reasons I ask is I've started to notice a correlation. I don't have any data to back this up, but I actually want to start tracking this somehow. I'm not sure how yet, just maybe on a, you know, pad and paper type thing. But in my world, it's enterprise deals. Yes, I make some cold calls, but not as many as I want to. My focus is also on trying to advance, you know, large deals along. And I've found a correlation between when I post on LinkedIn and when people follow back up with me. Because a lot of this game is like booking the next step. It's a big project. We're trying to, you know, maybe we need to keep the ball rolling for the course of 6-9 months or whatever for a big enterprise sale. And any enterprise seller out there knows that there's like this just intensity between interactions, because you don't want to just have them completely derail and go dark on you and you never hear from them again. And that's always a risk. And it's very, very common in this line of work, right? So what's been interesting is this year I've really upped my game on posting on LinkedIn. And what I've found is shortly after I post on LinkedIn, people who I'm waiting for a reply from tend to get back to me. And I can only think that it has to do with I'm just top of mind because they boot up their LinkedIn and they're like, oh, there's Jesse. Probably better follow up with that guy with the thing he asked us for, right?
Yeah, it has to wait. And if you look at it that way, you make a really good point there. You know, people don't like to be sold to, right? They just don't. So you're taking this pathway of indirectly talking to your ICP without talking to them, right? So if you have people ghosting you, but you know you're connected on LinkedIn, you know that they're following you, you can almost indirectly speak to them without speaking to them, right? And it gets them to move, right? And it's like, oh, that's what that would be. Or if you know that pricing is a concern for your ICP often, make a post about pricing. Talk about it. You know, if you know that this is a concern for them, talk about that, right? You want to pitch your price, because then they'll digest it without like it being at them. You know, they'll realize, like, some of my best meetings in my company as a founder have come from when I do live cold call competitions. Best business opportunities I get is when I can go live on LinkedIn and do live cold calling with peers, because as I'm making live dials and pitching to people in my ICP, those in the audience that are in my ICP are hearing that. And they're like, oh, I could use that. And now I get inbounds after the show because they're like, hey, Tom, I really loved what you had to say there. Like, do you think we could meet? Yeah. Because I'm looking at that. Big winner, right? Because they're hearing me live pitch somebody else on the phone, but I'm not pitching them. And they're like, oh, that's great. I could use that. So sometimes it's just talking to them indirectly that gets them to move, than talking like right at them. And they're like, okay, I don't hear you.
So I was doing some research on you, Tom, and wanted to hear about fetch selling. Can you just give us a little rundown on fetch selling and the three R's?
Yeah. So I've got a couple formulas. I am not a script guy. I am not coming in and telling you how to do anything. I really try to unlock your specialty. Like both of you, I would take through different exercises to make sure that, you know, your cold calling or your outreach and email matches you too, not, you know, just both of you. So with fetch selling is my like social media approach. So if you're looking to build a brand, you're trying to figure out, you know, what to do. It's a formula from follow, engage, track. Why am I drawing a blank? I'm drawing a blank. Don't judge me.
No judgment. This is a judgment-free zone.
Guys, you threw me on a curveball. I can't even think of my own formula. What is my own formula? My own formula is follow, engage, track, Oh God, now I can't think of my other
I hate when this happens, when you know something so well that you get blind to it because it's like breathing, you know? It's like, oh shoot, I forgot to breathe for a second.
It's it's just like my whole that's what it is. Follow. So you follow your ICP, okay? You go on, whether that's Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, you follow them. That's the first motion. Mm-hmm. Get them in your feed. Then you start engaging, right? Likes, comment, share their posts. A lot of times your ICP gets no engagement at all. So it's a really easy win for you to be that comment or the first one on their post or show up for them, add some extra thought and value to what they're sharing. You're not pitching your product in their comments. You're not doing anything. You're just adding value to what they've already written and just being there, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Track that. So then you're tracking their responses. You kind of use an Excel. You use Surf, right? You track this stuff. Then you connect. After you've done the follow and the engage and you've kind of gotten in there for maybe a couple of days, they're starting to see you, then you offer that engagement and connect with them and say, hey, Chase, it's been really cool to be a part of your content lately. What you've been putting out is super helpful. You mind if we connect? That's it. And then once you get the connect, you are not pitch slapping, right? As they call it. You're not immediately coming in with your pitch, but you're going to help. The H is help. So strike up a conversation and, you know, offer something that might align with what they've recently been talking about, or a guide that you can give them that's like, hey, you know, obviously I've been trying to reach out to you. Maybe you say that, maybe you don't, but you're like, hey, Jess, you know, been really enjoying your content. Thanks for connecting with me. As you are a lawyer in this space, I thought this guide might be helpful. Typically when I connect, I give this guide that shows how lawyers can start building a brand on LinkedIn to drive more leads. It's 5 steps. Hope this is helpful. Is this something you've tried before or thought of? And you ask an open-ended question that kind of like, again, seeking to understand before you come in and drive the conversation, is this something you've thought about? Or is this a priority for you at the moment? Now, 5-10 times you do that, 2-3 of those people are getting back to you. And now you're having just a really nice conversation. They're like, actually, this is a great guy, Jeff. Chase, I've never thought about doing this, actually. Do you know of any other lawyers that are doing, you know, branding that are some examples? Absolutely, John. Here's 2 people that I got for you that, you know, they started kind of implementing the content game, and we've seen a 25% increase in inbounds just within the last 60 days. Do you think a 25% increase would be, you know, something of helpful? Are you taking on new business? You know, and now you're 3-5 questions deep, and then you kind of pivot, and now they're like, yo, I'd love to talk to you more about this. So that's the fetch. Follow, engage, track, connect, help.
Love it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great stuff. So we're coming up here on time. We got one last question for you. And then Tom, I think we need to do a part 2 of this just because I feel like there's so much more. We could go so much deeper and we just didn't get there in the time we had. So we're going to have to book a session 2 with you.
We'll do it live out.
That would be really cool too. We need to get Chase out here. Chase is already committed to coming out here to Arizona to visit. So
perfect.
We should absolutely do that. So one of the members of our community asked the question in regards to just kind of career management and, you know, promoting people. And I don't know how big your team is right now. I know you're just launching into entrepreneurship, but it does sound like you have some folks that are either contractors or full-time employees. What kind of things do you look for besides just metrics and attainment in, you know, stellar staff members?
So this is something I learned early on in my career. I fought for management for a very long time. I thought I deserved it based on numbers that I put up and performance, and that's what you're taught. But my best advice and what I look for is somebody who can be a really strong number 2 to a number 1. That's when you're doing really good. So what I always tell people, you want to get promoted, you want to move up in the ladder, start acting like it before it's ever come your way. How can you master your numbers? If you're hitting quota 2 weeks into the month, start reaching out to your team members. How can I help you? What can I do to service you at the same time? Talk to your leadership team. Hey, I know you've been, you know, head underwater lately. Is there anything I could take off your plate? I'd love to learn how to do reporting. Maybe there's some decks I can create for you that you're in the process of making. How can I relieve you or help you? You know, I'm at my number. I'm doing great. I have a little bit of wiggle room. What can I do to support you? A good number 2 to a number 1 will always get promoted. A lot of times in this culture nowadays, nobody wants to do the hard work until they get the job. Oh, I'm not doing that until I'm paid for it. Oh, I'm never going to do it. Like, give me management and then I'll do all of that. And the reality is that's not how it works. You have to do some of that stuff. And one thing a manager told me back in the day was, there's two outcomes that can happen when you get promoted. And what do you want? What side of it do you want to be on? There's a side you get promoted and you go into management, and in the coffee chats and the water cooler, half the group is saying, ew, why did they get promoted? Like, what is that? Like, why is Chase getting promoted? And now you're the talk of the town. Or the other side of the coin is, oh yeah, Chase, you got promoted. Like, I thought you were already the leader. Like, that's great, man. I thought you were already in that position. I didn't even know you weren't doing that yet. Right.
Yeah.
So when you go to that perspective, it's like the team already just expects it. They thought you were already doing that. Like, yeah, that's great, dude. Like, yeah, I thought you were already, you know, the team lead or the manager. Like, that's great. Then you get that nice, like, just act the part. I look for people that would do more without being asked. My favorite motto is, I'd rather ask for forgiveness than permission, right? I don't want to have to hold your hand and guide you through. I'm looking for somebody who's just that passionate and devoted to what we're doing that they're just taking the initiative. If they make a mistake, dude, I'm good with that. At least you went out and tried. At least you did try to do it. Yeah, you might have derailed it or did something. Now, as long as it's not earth-shattering and you made a really bad move. But like, dude, if you made a mistake and we're trying to build a deck for me and we're like, hey, I put this together, dude, I just love that you even thought about it and tried to do it. Let's go in the lab and kind of clean it up and we'll get it on par and I'll show you where you, you know, need the help. But I just love that you even did it. So my advice is, and what I look for in my team is those that like are willing to put in the work. They're willing to be a strong number two to the number one. They're wanting that stuff and they're willing to put in the work to get there versus this ego or this entitlement or, well, I'll wait till I get that role. I'm not going to do that stuff. You pay me pennies on the dollar. Why would I go do that? Like, give me the role and then I'll go do that stuff. No, get the work in beforehand. So then when the promotion comes, there is no learning curve. You've already been doing the leadership stuff for 3 months, 4 months. It's just like an SDR going to AE. Go start closing deals and sourcing stuff now before you even go into AE. Take the initiative. Tell your AE, hey, this is a smaller size deal. I don't think you should waste your time with it. Do you think, you know, maybe I can run it and just see where it goes? Would you be cool with that? Absolutely, Tom. Go for it. Or, hey, Leah, let's prep for it and then let's see what you do. So just that's kind of my advice for that and what I look for.
I think that's so good. And I've seen this play out time and time again. Actually, just recently, someone in my network, it was the same scenario of, oh, I thought you already were managing. You're doing all the things anyway. Oh, cool. I guess you got the formal title now, but you've been doing all of the activities that a manager would do anyway. So it makes perfect sense. Like, there's no doubt that that was the right move.
Yep. It Love it. To be a no-brainer. You know, it's not a questionable thing. Set yourself up to where it's literally a no-brainer that you should be the next one in line because you've been earning your way to do that. Now, is there a risk that you're dangling the carrot and you might not get it? Right. I'll raise my hand. I went through a couple of those. I did all the stuff. I did the work. Got passed up.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. But don't let that derail you. Don't let that ruin you, because at the end of the day, you're still learning and you're still growing and your time will come. And I'm almost thankful nowadays that I got told no as many times as I did, because I really, truly wasn't ready. And I'm appreciative. And I've reached out to those managers to say thank you for literally stopping me from going into that, because it came at just the right time for me.
Yeah. Well, Tom, we know we can find you on LinkedIn, but if our listeners want to learn more about SD Lab, where can they get a, you know, maybe a taste test or a sneak peek at some of the stuff that you do and the work you do?
Well, I mean, you can go to the sdlab.com. I've got resources. I've got podcast episodes like this, you know, out there. I've got free resources. I've got, you know, services on there. The about me, I've got a video. Anything you want to know about what we're actually doing at the SD Lab, you could just go to the sdlab.com and find everything in there, to where hopefully by the time you look at that site, you kind of know exactly what you're getting and can find out if, you know, it's something you want to move forward in or not. I try to leave not much to question. It's pretty stacked with everything you can find on what we're doing.
Love it.
Thanks again, Tom. Really appreciate meeting you and look forward to meeting you in real life.
Yes, sir. Awesome, guys. Thank you for having me, and thanks for everyone that gave a listen.
If you do any prospecting with LinkedIn, you have got to go get set up with Surf. That's S-U-R-F-E. It's a tool you can use to add new contacts to your CRM system directly from LinkedIn in seconds. I'm using it every single day. I add contacts, follow my deals, keep track of notes, and it ends up saving me a bunch of time on prospecting and outreach, which means I can spend more time moving my deals along. The data is always 100% accurate, since I don't have to copy and paste all the fields over from each and every contact that I want to put in my CRM. Instead, Surf does that all automatically with just one click in about 60 seconds. The team over at Surf has put together a very special offer for fans of Sales Players. There's a link down in the show notes, and you can use the promo code JWSURF5. Don't forget the E at the end of Surf. That's JWSURF5 for 5% off your first year. Don't spend another minute doing things manually. Go get set up with Surf.